This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Hi, welcome back. What are you guys doing? It's your sports bros, Rop and Suk. I'm Rop. Big Suk.
Nice being dudes.
Right over there.
Hey.
Look at him.
Watching some softball. Actually,
look at him.
No. It makes me sad.
Hockey is getting ready to start.
Yeah, we got some hockey, we got some baseball.
But we had some softball walk-offs today, though.
We've got some NBA. Tomorrow we get college baseball. What an exciting
some
time.
Regionals and beautiful weather.
What an exciting time.
Coming up here, Caleb Williams hates the Bears.
He says no.
The team Oregon is battling for Rider Lions. Remember that name?
I do remember that name.
He's got Rider Lions hair, too. Looks like a haircut.
Wait,
of a Rider
who
Lions.
Has Rider Lions hair?
Rider Lions.
Rider Lions has Rider Lions hair? No way.
Yeah, when you look at Rider Lions, you'll be like, you will instantly be like, yeah, that's Rider.
You would have been able to tell that his name was Rider Lions, not knowing his name.
Is Rider Lions, is there any way he's not a quarterback?
I could see Rider Lions playing lacrosse as well.
Isn't it weird how people, yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Isn't it weird how people's, particularly quarterbacks, if you're named something,
yeah.
You just become that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of that, like, dad manifestation sort of thing, too. Like, you get super dad that, like, gives him a quarterback coach when he's, like, six.
The man who names his son Tank or Bubba, he's probably trying to train a lineman.
Yeah, something like that. But this kid is, like, right out of Central Casting.
Rider Lions.
Yeah. Like, he belongs in a Disney show about a...
Friday Night Lights, maybe.
Yeah, Friday Night Lights. I don't want your life.
Coming up in the club tonight, we have the crypto torture story, which is really bananas.
I don't want your life.
Hey, who knew we had that drop?
We have some tech news and Sydney's bathwater bliss.
I saw this and just, boy.
And
the incels
it.
Are having a field day.
That's something else. Just,
I ordered two. I'll give you one.
There's only 5,000 of them out there. And let's just say there's
two of them.
Penises are about to be cleaner than ever.
Gross. So, in the interest of time, I think we should break. I really do, because I've got a Pacers topic here.
Okay.
Because remember I was telling you, we were talking about the Thunder.
Yeah.
And the Thunder are great.
Yes.
I mean, that team is nasty.
Mm-hmm.
But the Pacers are being compared to one of the all-time great teams. And statistically, now again, these can be flawed.
Sure.
But statistically, there are numbers that are comparable.
I'm intrigued because I have not seen.
Who do you think it is?
You said it was like an all-time team. Because when you think about Indiana, like people are trying to compare this to either the Mavericks or the Pistons team that won because there's not a
real. I get that.
You know.
But no. This, no.
Yeah, because you said all-timer and those are not all-time teams.
Yes, that's the opposite.
Yeah.
And that's why the Pacers are kind of being overlooked here.
Yeah.
Is that they are very nondescript, mm-hmm. like the Pistons or the Mavericks.
Yeah.
But they're statistically stacking up to one of the greats.
I see. I'm really intrigued because and the style they play is pretty up-tempo, so I'm guessing it's not going to be like the Spurs.
I was going to maybe guess that just because of like the unselfishness and they don't have one guy who's doing it all, despite
like,
maybe Halliburton, but maybe the Warriors because of offensive efficiency?
No. Think about great great offense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe in the Golden State then.
He just said that.
Oh.
No.
Sorry, I didn't hear
you. You were not paying attention.
I was being distracted.
I love when you do that.
Yeah,
we're listening to the dude's story.
Can I be honest?
No.
And it makes me feel bad.
I would like you not to.
Because there's
it makes me sad.
I don't want there to be a negative connotation, but I am beginning to hate PK Subban more than any too. Other member of the media.
And is that because his hairline keeps creeping up towards his eyebrows?
I don't want to hate him, but I do. Why are they trying to make him the Cam Newton of hockey? Why are they trying to bring this high fashion, edgy flair to the game of hockey? Like, there's nothing. They keep showing him for like the playoffs, and he shows up like in a Rolls Royce with the most ridiculous Cam Newton outfit. It just, like, it's so weird that you're trying to insert that into like Stanley Cup hockey playoffs. It's weird.
He's making hockey cool.
Is he?
I think that's maybe what they're going for.
Because every time I listen to him,
isn't he kind of a cool dude?
He seems like a giant douche that's trying really hard to be cool, but isn't really. He's just, I feel like he is taking the archetype of every like edgy media member and is like, I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it with hockey. And
that's the bit now.
Ah, man. And so I'm sorry.
It's insane.
I looked up there and I saw him getting out with that stupid hat and the Rolls Royce. And I'm like, God, not him again.
So the Pacers are being compared to the Showtime Lakers.
Ah.
And there are numbers to back it up.
I could see that.
Oh, we'll get to that next on The Fan. Well, I'm probably jinxing the Pacers right now because they still have not closed out the Knicks. And game one of the finals isn't until Thursday of next week.
Regardless of how long this goes, right?
Yeah.
Like they set that in advance.
Yeah, so probably shouldn't. You know, like, we could easily do this next week.
Sure.
But we're not going to.
17-13, by the way.
Who's winning?
Knicks.
Oh,
five minutes to go in the first quarter.
This one's in New York, right?
It is in New York.
Pacers better win.
Otherwise, now we're going to have to.
Game six?
Is the momentum back in the Knicks camp?
Well, I mean, look, these two teams aren't. Knicks are pretty good.
Yeah, but the idea that they're going to win three in a row, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either, but the idea of Minnesota winning three in a row against Oklahoma City was
more absurd,
laughable.
Yes.
This one...
No, I agree.
I was saying that the Pacers are now being compared to the Showtime Lakers, which is amazing. And for the young Sparkies that don't know the Showtime Lakers, that was pretty much the whole 80s.
Yeah,
Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, James Worthy.
Michael Cooper, Byron Scott.
Coop.
Kurt Rambis. Come on, let's give Rambis some love. Jeff Lamb.
Pat Riley. wait, Jeff Lamb?
Yeah. He was
he on that team?
Yeah, Jeff Lamb was on there. We always joked, like, growing up, because Rambis was the gritty, scrappy white guy. And then Jeff Lamb was the white guy that never played. But he was on those teams.
Now you've got me interested in the also-rans from the Showtime Lakers.
Yeah. When we were growing up, we always thought it was funny in the background of like Laker photos, how there was always just Jeff Lamb. I think he was number 3, was always just lurking in the background, just a white shadow in the background. And he got to claim to be part of Showtime Lakers. He was like the remember Jed Bushler was the other guy. He was the weird white dude on the Bulls teams that didn't do anything other than, you know, win rings.
Mitch Kupchak
was
on the 85 team,
yeah,
as was Bob McAdoo.
Oh, yeah, you forget about
about Bob McAdoo.
Yep.
Jamal Wilkes. Anyway, here are some numbers. The Pacers are shooting 50.4% the last two playoffs. Okay, so this is 31 playoff games because all these numbers are based off of a minimum of 20 playoff games.
Yeah.
Their last two playoffs, they have played 31 games and they are shooting 50.4%. That is the best shooting percentage in back-to-back postseasons since the Showtime Lakers.
Oh.
And if you think about it, that's amazing because the three-pointer accounts for basically 40% of their shots.
Yeah, and you know that they're, you know, obviously you shoot a worse percentage of three-pointers than you do anything else. So you would think that shoot, like someone in the mid-range game, that would have had a better percentage.
And what's wild about Showtime is they hit 50% of their shots or better in 6 straight playoffs.
Dude, that's crazy.
So nobody's done that since in 2 straight until the Pacers now.
Hmm.
And they may not even finish off over 50%. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, because it's 50.4. So if they have a couple bad shooting nights,
they can dip below it.
So nobody's, like, the Lakers did that 6 straight postseasons, which is nuts.
Well, I want to say, I'd have to look it up, but I think the Lakers, because they won five with Magic, and I think they went to nine. So they may have played in, like, I think they went to the finals, I want to say, like, 9 out of, like, 11 or 9 out of 12 years. I mean, it was a ridiculous run that they had.
So the Pacers are averaging 116 points per game. That is the most in the playoffs since the Showtime Lakers. Most in back-to-back playoffs. And they are averaging 29.3 assists per game, which is the most in back-to-back playoffs since the Showtime Lakers.
Well, you were talking about yesterday the number of passes they throw per game. And
323 per game.
And so it was like 70-plus more than the Knicks in this series.
Yeah, it's insane.
And that's what one of the, I forget who it was, might have been Julius, or not Julius Randle. It's insane. I forget what Nick it was. One of the Knicks were talking about that the hard part about Indiana is it just never ends. When you stop one action, that's what he said. He said, you stop one action, then there's the second. You stop that one, then there's the third. And they said it just never stops, and it just exhausts you. Because you can play good defense for 18 seconds, and then they break you down in the final couple, and they end up with an easy look.
Well, somebody on this show, at least I think, has been talking about good, solid team basketball in the NBA and how much it's missing from the NBA for years.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the ISO ball bullcrap,
yep.
And that stuff is predictable. Now, the players are really good, so they, you know, guys like Giannis or LeBron in his prime or Luka, whatever, that it works. Sure. They're good. But the game of basketball is much more interesting and fun to watch when you have team ball like this.
Totally agree.
With movement and passing, fast paced.
Yeah.
It's really cool the way the Pacers play.
Yeah,
and it's really just not a thing that permeates the NBA.
And we said the same thing like when those Golden State teams were really fun to watch. And
because it wasn't just Steph or Durant filling it up. They moved it around.
Well,
it was
OKC
different guys, different nights.
Let's be fair. I mean, OKC is this too.
Yeah, sure. I think with OKC, sometimes you get the Shea. And
it's a little more Shea.
His style can be can rub people the wrong way. But if you are a fan of basketball, and you always said like the purist, you should love this Indiana Pacers.
How could you not?
And it's also a team that is not like, for everyone that hated the star era and small markets can't build teams, this is the Indiana Pacers should be America's team. Everyone that has bitched and moaned about the NBA, and we love bitching and moaning about the NBA, you should be an Indiana Pacer fan. That is 100% America's team. Not Oklahoma City. It should be Indiana.
Well, I'm guessing a lot of people haven't even watched them until maybe the finals.
Yeah.
But you're in for a treat.
Yeah.
The best offensive rating of any team in a span of two playoffs since the merger. Seriously.
The Indiana Pacers.
It's the Pacers.
That's
better than any other team.
And did they
get that's crazy.
And did they get swept last year in the conference finals by Boston?
Yes.
Yeah. It was either that or five. Was it
I think they got swept.
I think they got swept. It's, so imagine if, you know, if this all goes for naught. Like if you're Indiana and you take care of the Knicks and you come up short, like this will be will this be the greatest 2-year run that doesn't result in an NBA championship?
Statistically?
Yeah.
Offensively, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean it's up there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what I mean.
I mean, you're going back to the 80 Lakers, so except those 80 Laker teams won 5 NBA championships.
So their offensive rating is 119. That's the best of any team in a span of two playoffs since 1977. And interesting to note here, now this is where it gets a little, it's like, okay, come on. But comparing Halliburton to Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
Okay,
In their first 29 career playoff games, Magic Johnson averaged 18 points per game. Mm-hmm. Tyrese Halliburton averages 19. Magic averaged 9.3 assists per game. Halliburton is averaging 9. And Magic shot 49.6%, and Halliburton shooting 47%.
So basically what we're saying is it is the second coming of Magic.
Midwest Magic Johnson.
I like that. Listen, that's even better. Midwest Magic Johnson.
I'll tell you this. Halliburton, for as good as he is playing, I still think is underrated.
Oh, he's not getting nearly the credit
he is
he
not
should.
Getting enough credit for what he is doing. We talked about this yesterday, but they had the article on when we were talking about the passes.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrese Halliburton is their point guard. But he gets rid of the ball faster than 136 players in the league who aren't even point guards.
Yes.
That's insane. Normally, the point guard obviously is trying to get everyone involved. He holds on to the ball. He runs the set. Halliburton gets rid of the ball in like 3.7 seconds.
Yeah.
It's insane. And yet he still scores 30.
Which is why, again, I think it's a lot of fun to watch. And believe me, I'm getting indoctrinated into Indiana. I didn't watch Indiana basketball this year, but Indiana has been a hell of a lot of fun to watch in the postseason. If I didn't have money on Oklahoma City, I'd be rooting for Indiana. But, you know, hey,
hedge your bet.
Money talks.
You can hedge for like, they're like plus, I think the Pacers right now are like plus 450.
Are they really?
Yeah. No one really believes in the Pacers. And I get why, because Oklahoma City's awesome. But, you know, this is a...
I think those numbers... I would not have... Until you said this, there's no way. If you would have told me that the Indiana Pacers compared to a team, I would not have gone back to those Laker teams.
No.
Which, by the way, 9 finals in 11 years for those Laker teams that Indiana is comparing to.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I'd say so. Although they only won 5, the bums...
What if we're all sitting here talking about Oklahoma City and how young they are and how great, not one, not two, and it's the freaking Pacers.
Budding dynasty.
That rattle off 7.
Well, this I just think it would be.
Kevin Pritchard.
We all assume that after tonight it's going to be, but you know, yeah, getting the Knicks aren't dead yet. But the narrative in this, when this thing happens, is after 68 wins, and this absolute, you know, bulldozing through the playoffs, although Denver pushed them, greatest point differential of all time. They've lost to the Eastern Conference, an Eastern Conference team once all year. Cleveland beat them. You know, 68 wins, like 72 until Golden State was the end all to be all. 68's pretty freaking close. And so if they do this, there's going to be talk of where do they rank all time, and is this one of the great teams and the dynasty and all that. But as we stated earlier in the program, it does seem like a lot of times when we start crowning teams as is this one of the greatest teams all time before they win, you end up losing the 72-win Goldens or the 73-win Golden State Warriors. Well, they lost. I remember when USC and Miami back in the 90s were playing Ohio State and Texas trying to win their national title. And ESPN was saying, is this the greatest college football team of all time? Both of those lost. I mean, this happens. The Lakers with Shaq and Kobe when they were playing those Pistons teams. They're like, oh my God, is this the best dynasty? You know, could this team beat the Jordan Bulls teams? And they got beat by Chauncey Billups and Rasheed Wallace. So just give Indiana, I just think in general, no one is giving Indiana a chance. Like you said, plus 450 or whatever. And, you know, be careful. Be careful with that.
All right, coming up next, it's time for a Rider Lions segment here on the program.
Rider. Hey, just know that the Ducks did not want that other quarterback that chose Georgia.
They yeah, were, baby!
Which guy was that?
What was that dude's name? He committed to Georgia.
Jared Curtis.
Jared Curtis.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
Duck fans are already saying that.
They want Rider Lions.
Yeah, like, yeah, Curtis is the guy now, but when you think about it, Rider Lions is the one they wanted all along, because that's what you do. When someone tells you no, then you just say you wanted the other one.
I got to tell you, before we get into the Rider Lions talk next segment, I looked him up because you said he has hair that is exactly like what Rider Lions you would think, and he does.
Yes.
Now, he's just a high school kid, but I have to say that if the Ducks get Rider Lions, I hope, for their sake, I hope that he's a great kid. Because if he is a douche, they are going to become, and he is going to become, particularly if he's good, the most hated player in college football.
He has a little Duke point guard sort of.
He does. And I hate to say this, but it's and it starts with the name.
Yeah.
His name's Rider Lyons. Mm. He's 5 stars. Mm. He's going to Oregon, who already has, you know, a lot of people have a bee in their bonnet about Oregon anyway.
Yeah. He's punchable quarterback.
And then if he's good, and then if he's a douche, which I hope he's not, we've got problems.
He does a lot of face paint when he plays. He does face paint bits.
I'm worried.
No.
That's next year's buck.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Well, I was reading about Rider Lions today,
What an opportunity.
And I quickly wanted to stop. Not for any other reason other than, you know, look, you're talking about a 2026 quarterback.
Well, and he's a Mormon kid, so he may not even get there for a couple years. He may go on a mission, so I don't know.
Yeah, I talked to Nemec about this. It sounds like he's graduating early and would do, I guess, what's essentially a condensed mission. It'd be like 18 months instead of the traditional 2 years, so he'd really only miss 1 year at Oregon.
Okay.
See, they're already half-assing the mission.
I like it.
Good for Oregon.
Yeah. Or when he transfers to BYU afterwards, so, you know.
Well, that's what struck me is that, so he is the fifth-ranked quarterback and the 17th best recruit overall in 2026. Mm-hmm. And he is considering Ohio State, Michigan, USC, Ole Miss, but most insiders have Oregon battling BYU for his commitment. And then, of course, instantly our mind goes to, well, if it's BYU, that means he's LDS.
Yes.
Which he is. Yeah. So USC gets the official visit on June 6th. Apparently, they have a lot. We haven't talked about this, but they have a lot of recruiting momentum.
Yeah, USC's got a little juice behind him.
The Ducks get him on June 13th, mm-hmm. and he is well known to be their top target, according to this.
Yes, once they lost the Curtis kid, apparently they shifted and are going full sail into Rider Lions.
So BYU has the advantage of getting the last visit. Mm. He will visit there June 20th.
As they always say, you don't want Oregon to have the last impression because their recruiting trips and their facilities are spectacular.
Yeah, so they're saying LDS mission 2026, football player 2027.
Okay. So yeah, most of the time you lose two, but that makes sense if he's doing it. And I don't know. I've never heard of a shorter mission, but apparently that's a thing now. And, you know, if you leave early, it's just like a redshirt year.
You know? Yeah, basically.
But, yeah. It's like, remember back in the day they had gray shirts.
Yeah. So, Dennis Dixon was a gray shirt.
Why can't you serve your mission after college?
I mean, I look,
You're
I'm not.
The, to do it as a Ute?
I think you can.
I can.
I do not want to be the spokesman because I don't know what I'm talking about, but I don't believe there's any age. I think most people just go when you get out of high school, but I think you can go whenever. I know old people go. Like my dad went on one when he was like 60.
Well, why doesn't this kid wait till he's 60? What the hell?
I don't know. You're talking in a shocking development. I never went. So
what's he doing?
You're talking, but I had a lot of, I mean, I would say most of my teammates went, and it's funny because some guys came back and it wasn't a big deal, and other guys came back and were never the same. It changes you.
Well, what bodes well for Oregon is that they don't have a 2026 quarterback yet.
Yeah,
but USC does, and so does BYU.
Yeah,
they have a. You know what BYU's quarterback for 2026? You know what his name is?
I do not.
And I'm not even kidding. This is his name. Mm-hmm. So we have Rider Lions.
It's a great name.
BYU already has Keneal Sweetwine.
What?
I am not kidding.
Oh, hell yeah.
What is happening?
That's
right?
His name.
Keneal? How do you spell that?
It's K-A-N-E-A-L.
Okay, Keneal, yeah.
And then Sweetwine is the word sweet with W-Y-N-E.
Love it.
Let's go.
Is there an irony with wine and sobriety and the LDS and all that?
There's a little irony there. But can you imagine Rider Lions and Keneal Sweetwine in that quarterback room?
Let's go.
Too much sauce.
That is saucy. That is.
Although Sweetwine's only a 3-star kid, so.
Oh.
Yeah. And he's from Utah. He's from Lehigh, Utah. So no offense to Sweetwine, but we want some Rider Lions. Let's go.
Well, like I said, I hope Rider is a nice kid and not a donkey because he plays with the cross eye black.
Mm-hmm. Which is interesting because if you're...
He's got really quarterbacky hair.
Yes. He has a Duke face.
He looks pretty cocky. Yeah.
Well, what's interesting is because if he's a Mormon kid, the Mormons don't use the cross.
He does on a couple of his photos here.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that's about.
Don't know.
Maybe you could have a little chat with him. Maybe a little sit down with Rider Lions.
Well, he does another one where he does like war paint too. He's a face painter.
Oh yeah.
He's doing bits. Although a lot
of kids, it's war out there.
A lot of kids out there.
Jackson Dart's a face paint guy.
Yeah, and they do the face paint thing now. That's a thing. Got to put the. I think Tua is a cross guy, right?
That's right.
Tua does that. Hey, just thinking of you, Jesus. I'm out there slinging that rock.
Getting my head bounced off the turf, but...
Got to throw it on there. You know my working theory behind five-star quarterbacks. Don't pay them. Just let them, let someone else buy them and then get them on the cheap with the transfer thing.
That's right.
That's the one thing. I know you have to recruit. And Oregon, by all accounts, I was listening to Nemec saying that Oregon's taking some hits here. Oregon's going to have a top 10 recruiting class. They're going to be just fine, even though they've had some decommitments here. You have to put together elite recruiting classes. It's the lifeblood of college of football. If you don't get elite recruits, you're not winning championships. But with the transfer portal and everything, I just, whenever I hear like that there's like some sort of like hot war, especially for a quarterback, I just kind of roll my eyes because I'm like, in a year, he'll be somewhere else. You just look around at all the quarterbacks that were in the playoffs last year, the vast majority of them were transfers. And the five-star kids that you read about, the Nico kid out of Tennessee, not there anymore. You know, I just feel like a lot of the quarterbacks that we talk about end up somewhere else. I mean, even like Arch Manning, I know Arch Manning didn't go anywhere. He stuck around at Texas, which is a shocker because most guys don't sit around and wait. But like that, like we're talking about Arch Manning as like, oh my God, going to win a national title at Texas and number one overall draft pick. Can I ask the question of why?
Well, because his name's Manning.
But that's my point. Like, Arch Manning hasn't played.
Well, I know, but his name's Manning.
That's so weird to me.
It's not weird. That's what people do.
But when he did play, he wasn't very good.
Yes, but his name's Manning. That's it.
That's it.
Yes.
So
if his name wasn't Manning, he wouldn't even be on the radar.
Yeah. It's just, it's a...
This is what people do.
Yeah, the way
this is the Bronny James thing, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Even though Arch is better than Bronny,
exactly.
But still.
Now, the way we view quarterbacks in the college football game, I think has always been a bit wonky, but especially in today's landscape, I don't fret. Oregon is going to get really good recruits, and Oregon is going to be really good in the transfer portal, and unless something just miraculous changes and Dan Lanning refuses to jump into swimming pools, you're going to get an elite pool of kids, and then it comes down to development and scheme and all of that.
And they're always upset. You've made it. Excuse me.
And getting Ryder Lyons. We need Ryder Lyons, because if we don't get him, then what on earth could we do?
To take a guy that won't be ready to play for at least 4 years.
There's a burping montage.
Because if they don't get Ryder Lyons, aren't they just going to pivot to the next quarterback, and then we're going to be like, oh, well.
That's right. Well, of course they will.
This is the one that we wanted.
All right. That is far too much recruiting talk. Caleb Williams hates the Bears. That's next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, Caleb Williams has been a bit distracted this week during OTAs with the Bears.
Yes.
And that's because there is a book. Do you like books?
I do, although I really like audiobooks. Audiobooks have ruined regular books for me.
There's a book by Seth Wickersham, and it's called American Kings, A Biography of the Quarterback. And it revealed that Caleb Williams and his dad, Carl, had considered ways for them to avoid being drafted by the Bears.
Yeah. They said that it was the place where quarterbacks go to die.
And I'm sure that set well with... Bear guy.
No, Caleb Williams is wanting to, he wants you to know that he wanted to be a Bear all along.
What is Colorado Rock?
Yeah, during his news conference this week, he said, as everybody knows, and you know, I got to give him some credit. He's like, look at your history. He's not wrong. Like, no, you can't be mad at him for this.
Well, no, but what I can be mad about is, why did you say this for a book? This isn't a book about you. This is a book about quarterbacks. So when someone comes to you and is like, hey, we're writing a book, and you're like, oh, yeah, and your dad's like,
I don't know
there's quotes in there.
From who?
From his dad.
Oh, from his dad, okay.
Yeah, yes. They approached the dad about, you know, just the process and the journey of being a quarterback, and this is what he gave him.
Yeah, just shut up. So he said, as everybody knows, it's a fact that quarterback play, there hasn't been a 4,000-yard passer in Chicago. So he did not deny his initial skepticism of the Bears' track record for developing franchise quarterbacks. He then said, I wanted to come here and be the guy and be a part and be a reason why the Bears turn this thing around. That last thing that was said and all of that, I think, is the most important thing, is that I wanted to be here. I love being here. Of course, he has to say that now. But, yeah.
I just think it was, I just will never understand in this generation why open your mouth? Like, why would you want to put that out there?
Well, that's the dad, right?
Yeah.
So the dad said, Chicago is the place quarterbacks go to die. Williams said he appreciates the support and guidance he receives from his father, but that Carl does not speak for him. He actually said, I shut my dad down quite a bit. He has ideas. He's a smart guy, and so I listen. I always listen. I'm very fortunate to be in this position in the sense of playing quarterback, but also very fortunate to have a very strong-minded father. We talk very often. My mom and my dad are my best friends, so being able to have conversations with them to understand that everything that they say is also portrayed on me. He cares so much about me and my future, and we have been along on this journey so long together. All he wants is what's best for me. So if anything happens, and he's super hot-headed, and it's more of like, all right, go ahead and go away. Go reset. Things like that. Love him to death and things like that. Super fortunate to have him. We've talked about it. Understanding that there's a right place and a right time, and there are times that there is not.
And that would is what I'm talking about. Why would your dad start saying those things and talk about the coaching staff not watching film and you being unprepared? It just made no sense to me whatsoever that as a rookie with all the scrutiny and weight on his shoulders, you didn't have a bad year, but by no stretch of the imagination, had a good year. And now as a new regime, even though it's the same GM, it's the same organization, and it's the same city, at the first sign of struggle, yeah, I'm sure the Chicago fans are going to react just swimmingly to all this. I mean, if you go out and it's gangbusters, everything's fine. But
if you throw a pick before your first touchdown, yeah, you're going to hear it.
You know, and you've revamped your offensive line. You spent a lot of money on it. They went out and got you two more weapons, including arguably the best pass-catching tight end in this draft. And you got an offensive-minded coach now, Ben Johnson, who was gangbusters with the Lions. And I just think there's a ton of pressure. And already, I mean, Williams has a ton of pressure on him. So I just don't understand the lumping more on there for seemingly no reason other than to sell books that you're not getting anything from.
I wonder when he said that.
I don't know. I'm
guessing it was a while ago.
He's an interesting guy. I'm not rooting for
Caleb or his dad.
Just I'd just say the Williams family, right? It's just everything down to the crying at USC and, you know, the he's very flamboyant. It's just, he's an interesting guy. And, that I think is one of the more interesting storylines going into next year is, there are no more excuses. And, you know, whether it's fair or not, you know, there were other quarterbacks that came in. See, you know, Jaden in Washington that came in and lit the world on fire with seemingly worse circumstances. And so now all that's gone. I mean, everything is set up for Caleb Williams in Chicago to have a big year. And if it doesn't work out and there's some struggles, the finger is getting pointed at him. And I that's what I'm saying. I'll be interested to see where his maturity level is, where his commitment is to all this, because I think the book is still out. And I think some of those questions were valid when he was at USC. I think there was definitely some people that thought that, kind of like Trevor Lawrence, that maybe the hype exceeded the prospect.
Yes, but what does his dad think?
His dad thinks that's where, you know, people go to die.
Can we get Carl Williams and Dr. Halliburton in the same,
yeah, right,
suite, watching their kids?
I just think that's weird when dads and parents in general, like, it's everything wrong with little league dad, but at a much bigger level.
Yeah, I know.
And it happens more than you think.
All over the place. Yeah. All right, coming up next is the club. In it, we will talk about our latest purchase, Sydney's Bathwater Bliss. Hmm.
Ordering your bar now?
Like I told you, I already have two.
Yeah. That's an expensive soap.
That's next. And other stuff on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.